Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Looking back years later, what stayed with him was not the church or the dent in the truck or even the figure in the field. It was how casual the night had started. The summer of 2006 had been thick with humidity and long evenings that refused to cool. The neighborhood pool sat at the edge of a subdivision carved out of what had once been uninterrupted Florida scrubland. Beyond the fence stretched a wide field that eventually gave way to scattered trees and dirt roads that ran darker than the rest of the county after sunset. There were few streetlights, and once night settled in fully, the open land seemed to expand. That evening it was just four of them, Joey, his younger brother Jeremy, Rosanna, and him. The night before, a small group of friends had experimented with a Ouija board. Nothing dramatic had occurred, no violent movement, no obvious manifestations. But the experience had lingered, not as spectacle, but as suggestion. It had planted a tone that hadn't entirely faded. At the pool, Joey sat on one end, tossing a football lazily to Jeremy, who balanced on the opposite steps. In the middle of the water, Rosanna and her boyfriend drifted in slow circles, their conversation half serious, half distracted, in the way young couples tend to talk when they believe the world is enormous and still mostly theirs. The subject turned to ghosts almost inevitably. It often did when Rosanna was present. She had mentioned early in their relationship that she saw things. She never framed it as extraordinary or spiritual. She simply described it as fact. Figures in doorways, shapes crossing behind people, movement where there should have been, stillness. The first time she admitted it, she had been sitting on her porch, her eyes tracking something behind him that he couldn't see. Only hours later had she confessed she had been watching something move just beyond his shoulder the entire time. After that, he paid attention. At the pool that night, Joey handled the topic the way he handled anything that brushed against the unknown with jokes. He declared loudly that ghosts were inventions, that people who claimed to see them wanted attention, that every haunted house could be explained by wiring, plumbing, or imagination. The teasing was harmless on the surface, but Rosanna's expression changed. She didn't argue, she didn't defend herself, she simply went quiet. Her eyes drifted past Joey toward the stretch of grass behind him, just beyond the concrete edge of the pool. The field behind the fence had already begun dissolving into shadow. From where they floated, there was nothing visible beyond damp ground and tall weeds bending in the late summer air. "Do you see something?" her boyfriend asked softly. She didn't answer immediately. Joey continued laughing across the water, splashing Jeremy as he exaggerated his disbelief. Then Rosanna leaned closer and spoke in a low voice. "They don't like him." The statement was not dramatic. It wasn't whispered like a warning. It was delivered as observation. He pulled back slightly. "Who?" "There's a girl standing near him," she said. "She keeps trying to push him." He glanced toward Joey. The steps were empty, except for him. No one stood behind him. No one leaned close. He continued tossing the football, unaware. By then, the sky had darkened more than anyone had noticed. A single street light near the parking area cast a dull yellow glow across the surface of the pool, but the field behind the fence had flattened into near blackness. "Is she in the water?" he asked. "No," Rosanna replied. "Just there." She wasn't frightened yet. That came later. They remained only a few minutes longer. No sudden splash interrupted the quiet. No unseen force made contact. Nothing visibly happened at all. And yet the mood shifted. Rosanna glanced once more toward the field, then again, her gaze tracking something moving slowly along the fence line. When she said she wanted to leave, he agreed without argument. Joey's jokes had softened by then. Even he seemed aware that something in the atmosphere had tightened. They crossed the pool together and gathered their things. As they walked toward the truck, he turned back once toward the field. It appeared unchanged, flat, dark, empty. Rosanna did not look back casually. She turned sharply as though something had stepped closer. "What?" he asked. "Just go," she said. They dropped Joey and Jeremy off first. Their house sat along one of the long dirt roads branching away from the county highway. The road rose slightly before leveling near a wide field that stretched outward for several hundred yards. The truck's high beams cut through the darkness as they crested the small incline. The lights washed across the open grass ahead. That was when he saw it. Several hundred yards out, just off the edge of the road, something pale moved across the field. At first, it registered as an animal catching the light at the wrong angle, a deer perhaps, or someone in light clothing crossing the grass. But the shape was too upright, too deliberate. It moved parallel to the road. When the headlights struck it fully, the figure did not freeze as a startled person might. It accelerated, not toward the truck, across the field. It covered ground quickly, far more quickly than seemed reasonable over uneven terrain, before disappearing into a darker stretch near the tree line. He kept driving. The engine sounded louder than usual in the quiet cab. After a moment, Rosanna spoke.
"You saw it too," she said.
It wasn't phrased as a question. He nodded.
"What was that?" he asked.
She didn't answer immediately. Her eyes remained fixed on the darkness beyond the passenger window. "It wasn't from the pool," she said finally. "What does that mean?"
"It was farther out."
That was the first indication that whatever had unsettled her at the pool might not have belonged to that space at all. The rest of the drive passed in silence, and neither of them understood yet that the field had been a boundary, and they had just crossed it. By the time they dropped Joey and Jeremy off, the field siding had settled into something neither of them wanted to examine too closely. It would have been easy to dismiss it as a trick of the headlights or a trick of distance. Florida heat did strange things to air and light, especially at night when humidity hovered low over open ground. The mind could shape movement where none existed. That explanation would have been sufficient, and for several miles, neither of them challenged it. What shifted the direction of the night was not fear. It was curiosity. Rosanna had mentioned the old church before, usually in passing. It sat several miles from her house, along a narrow county road that branched into an even smaller dirt stretch lined with scattered houses and long, quiet fields. It wasn't completely abandoned, but it had fallen into disuse years earlier. The cemetery beside it was older than most of the subdivision they had just left, older even than some of the roads that led there. They didn't speak about the figure directly as he turned the truck toward that road. Instead, the decision unfolded gradually, as if the sighting in the field had opened a question neither of them wanted left unanswered. The deeper they drove, the fewer lights appeared. Houses became spaced farther apart, their porch bulbs small and distant. The air felt heavier out there, away from the subdivision, as if sound carried differently across open land. When the church finally came into view, it appeared exactly as it always had during daylight. Weathered wood siding, a sagging roof line, a small cemetery clustered to one side with uneven headstones and patches of taller grass between them. At night, however, the shape of the building seemed to detach slightly from its surroundings. Without sunlight flattening its edges, it felt less like a structure and more like a presence. Rosanna asked him to slow down. He shifted into first and allowed the truck to idle forward at a crawl. She then asked him to turn off the headlights and leave only the parking lights on. He hesitated only briefly before complying. Darkness pressed closer immediately. The low glow from the parking lights illuminated little more than the stretch of dirt directly ahead of them. Beyond that, the church and cemetery dissolved into layered shadow. He eased the truck to a stop roughly parallel to the space between the church and the graveyard fence. The engine idled softly, the only steady sound in the cab. At first, nothing happened. The night remained still in the way rural nights often do, filled with distant insects and the faint movement of wind through grass. There was no dramatic shift in temperature, no sudden noise. Rosanna leaned slightly toward the passenger window, her posture tightening in a way he had learned to recognize. It was not theatrical alarm. It was concentration. He waited. After nearly a minute, she leaned closer and spoke quietly. "We need to go." Her tone had changed. It wasn't curiosity anymore. "What is it?" he asked. "They're moving," she said. He looked out the windshield but saw nothing except the outline of the church and the uneven shapes of headstones. The cemetery fence cast thin shadows that moved subtly with the wind. He remained still for a few seconds longer than he should have. That hesitation was the moment the tone shifted from observation to intrusion. A sudden metallic thud struck the bed of the truck. It wasn't loud enough to be explosive, but it was solid, the unmistakable sound of weight hitting metal. The impact vibrated faintly through the frame. He instinctively checked the side mirrors, but the limited light offered no clarity beyond dark shapes and drifting shadow. He shifted the truck into gear, but before he could accelerate, something dragged briefly along the side panel near the rear quarter. The sound was abrasive and short, like something rough sliding across painted steel. He did not wait for further explanation. The truck surged forward, tires spinning slightly in the loose dirt before catching traction. Gravel kicked backward as he straightened onto the narrow road and accelerated. Rosanna's breathing had quickened, but she was not screaming. She stared through the back window, her gaze fixed on something he could not see. "They're running," she said. He did not ask who. He focused on the road ahead, pushing the speed higher than he normally would on that stretch. The church disappeared behind them, swallowed by darkness within seconds. As they reached the bend where the dirt road widened near the property of his old friend's house, the air inside the cab seemed to settle. The metallic tension that had filled the space eased, replaced by the ordinary hum of tires over gravel. He slowed only once he reached a more familiar stretch of pavement. Neither of them spoke for several moments. When he finally glanced at Rosanna, her face had drained of color. She was staring straight ahead now, no longer tracking anything beyond the windows. "They stopped," she said quietly. He drove her home without further incident. What neither of them fully understood at that moment was that nothing had followed them down the road. Whatever they had encountered had not chased them beyond its ground. It had simply reacted to their presence and then remained where it belonged. He did not inspect the truck that night. By the time he dropped Rosanna off and drove home, the adrenaline had thinned into something quieter, more difficult to define. It would have been easy to circle back down that road in his mind and question each detail, the sound on the truck bed, the scrape along the panel, the urgency in her voice. But exhaustion overtook analysis. He parked in the driveway as he always did and went inside without checking the exterior. Morning brought clarity in the form of his father's voice. There was nothing subtle about it. The knock on his bedroom door was sharp, followed by the unmistakable tone of someone already irritated before the conversation had begun. He stepped outside into the driveway to find both of his parents standing near the rear quarter panel of the truck. The dent was visible immediately. It sat just above the left wheel well, not large enough to crumple the panel, but deep enough to catch light differently. Then the surrounding metal, a faint white scuff cut across the paint in a rough arc, as if something solid and pale had pressed into it with force before sliding away. He studied it without speaking. There were no splintered branches on the driveway. No broken debris lodged near the tire. The lower bumper showed no sign of backing into anything. The dent sat too high for a fence post, too rounded for a sharp impact, and his father asked what he had hit. He said he didn't know. It wasn't entirely untrue. In the chaos of accelerating away from the church, he had not felt the truck strike anything solid beyond the initial thud on the bed. He replayed the sound in his head, the weight of it, and tried to match it with something ordinary. Gravel thrown high enough, a loose tool shifting in the bed, a rock kicked up at an angle. None of the explanations fit cleanly, but none of them were impossible either. He left the conversation there. A few minutes later, he called Rosanna. She answered after several rings, her voice strained in a way that suggested she had not slept. When he told her about the dent, she did not sound surprised. Instead, she told him she had been awake most of the night. Not because something had entered her house, because something had remained outside. She described the feeling first, the sense that the yard was not empty, that movement lingered near the tree line behind her home. She had heard nothing distinct. No footsteps on gravel, no voices. But the pressure of it had kept her from resting. When she finally drifted into sleep near dawn, she woke again to find her room unsettled, not destroyed, not overturned in violent disarray, but disturbed. Clothes that had been folded neatly now lay shifted across the foot of her bed. A jewelry box had tipped onto its side, its contents scattered across the dresser. A drawer she was certain she had closed stood open several inches. Nothing was broken, beyond repair. Nothing torn apart. Just displaced. He went to her house that afternoon to see for himself. Rosanna was not someone who tolerated disorder. Her room had always been precise. Bed made tight. Surfaces clear. Everything in its place. The disruption was subtle but undeniable. It was not the random scatter of someone rummaging carelessly. It looked more like something had brushed across the room without regard for arrangement. He stood near the window and looked out toward the yard. The tree line sat still in the daylight. There were no visible marks in the grass, no signs of intrusion. Near the fence, whatever she had sensed the night before had left no obvious physical trace. "They didn't come inside," she said quietly. The way she said it mattered. It wasn't relief. It was explanation. He did not ask who they were. Over the next few days, nothing further occurred. The yard returned to its ordinary stillness. Her room remained undisturbed when she set it right. The subdivision pool resumed its place as a gathering spot, though they did not linger there as long after dark. What remained was not fear. It was a recalibration. Looking back, he understands that the escalation did not begin at the church. It began the moment they treated something unseen as spectacle. The Ouija board, harmless in appearance, had shifted their posture from passive curiosity to active engagement. The pool conversation had extended that engagement into open air. Joey's mockery had not angered something fragile. It had drawn attention to a boundary already present. The figure in the field had not chased them. It had moved along its own path, parallel and unconcerned. The church had been different. That had been a choice. They had driven toward land that carried its own history, its own imprint of presence, and they had done so with headlights lowered, as if approaching something deliberately. When the impact struck the truck, it had not felt like pursuit. It had felt like correction. The dent remained on the quarter panel for months before it was repaired. Even after the metal was smoothed and repainted, he could still locate the exact spot by memory. He would sometimes run his hand along the panel absent-mindedly and recall the metallic thud from that night. Years later, he drove that road again out of curiosity. The church still stood, though in worse condition. The cemetery fence leaned more heavily now, and the field beyond it had grown taller. In daylight, the place looked smaller than it had in memory. Less ominous, more neglected. He parked briefly at the edge of the road but did not turn off the engine. The air felt ordinary. Nothing moved beyond the wind. As he drove away, he understood something that had eluded him as a teenager. The night in 2006 had not been about something following them home or attaching itself to Rosanna. It had been about proximity. They had approached ground that did not belong to them. When they hesitated, when they remained longer than instinct advised, the land answered, not with spectacle, not with dramatic violence, but with enough force to leave a mark. And then it had stayed exactly where it was.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.